for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia Roy, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist, yoga teacher, and sound therapist here at Illuminations. And today, we have a very, very important topic, in my opinion. This is something that we all face on a daily basis, and the topic is all about how to stop negative self-talk. And to talk a lot more about this, I have a very, very special guest. Her name is Ruchi Khanna. Ruchi Khanna is a clinical hypnotherapist, Vedic astrologer, and a theta healer. She works in India and Dubai as well, and she's here with us today, and I cannot wait to get started. So hi, Ruchi Khanna. Thank you so much for being with me here today.
Thank you so much, Nia. I'm so excited to be here.
Likewise. So let's just get straight into it, right?
Great.
So we've all heard of negative self-talk. This is something that we all have experienced in life as well, right?
Absolutely.
So let's just start from the beginning. What exactly is it? What is negative self-talk?
Right. So all of us have, you know, two sides to us, positive and negative. That's just our natural nature. Yeah. And we have good talk, healthy talk in our mind. And then we have what we call the bad talk, which is the negative chatter that is also very much part of who we are, right? Yeah. We're angry sometimes, we're fearful sometimes, we're sad sometimes, we're envious sometimes, and all of that goes on in our mind, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're good, we're the good, we're the bad, we're the beautiful, we're the ugly sometimes, we're all of it, right? And the negative talk is part of us, very much a part of us, mm-hmm. right? It's the stuff that you don't want that goes on in your mind, mm-hmm. right?
So what's the byproduct of it? Like, why is it so hard for us to stop that? And how does it affect our lives on a daily basis?
So what I would say, which may be a little controversial, is that you don't want to stop it. It's very much a part of you. Like the good stuff, the bad mm-hmm. stuff also. Your shadow also is a part of you. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to accept it. We have to learn to even embrace it in our life, because accepting it and embracing it is accepting ourselves for who we are.
Yeah.
Even the bad parts of ourselves that we don't want to accept sometimes. So just accept it, embrace those negative aspects of yourself, because there's a learning behind every negative talk that goes on in your mind.
Absolutely, I completely agree with that. But when let's say if we're in a situation where we lost a job or we did something wrong, rather than, you know, encouraging ourselves or trying to make us feel better, the most natural instinct is to always be like, oh my God, you're such an idiot, or why did you do that? Oh, we could have done this differently. Oh my God. It's that natural tendency.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point. So when, you know, that talk comes up mm-hmm. that, you know, you did this wrong, or this was bad, or what an idiot I was. Those are the moments that you need to catch yourself and be kinder to yourself.
But why do we do that? Why is that the natural tendency?
Because we want to be better. We want to be better versions of ourselves. The innate us wants to be the highest and the best version of ourselves. And every negative talk is actually pushing you towards becoming that higher version of yourself, right? Which is why it's so important. So the minute your mind says, you were a loser, or, you know, you did this wrong, those are moments you have to catch, right? Mm. That negative chatter is so important. It's leading you to your highest self. It's pushing you to be better, to catch where you went wrong, because mm-hmm. we are human and we're going to make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
That's just part of the journey. So it helps you to understand where you went wrong and where you need to pick yourself up, be your own best friend, where you need to be kinder to yourself and direct yourself in a way where you don't make those mistakes again.
Absolutely.
Or where you just improve those aspects of your life, you know?
Would you say that that path that you were just describing, like this is what we need to do when we're in, when we are stuck in that rut, would you say parenting plays a role in that?
Like, absolutely.
Like growing up, what kind of parents you had and what kind of parenting style you were exposed to plays a role in that.
It really does.
In
it really
way?
Does. You know, our parents kind of shouted at us when we didn't do something right, mm. right? You know, that adult that was always trying to make us better.
Yeah.
However, through criticism, which isn't the ideal way we realize now, but we've all been through it, right? So as we become adults, we need to be that kinder inner adult to ourselves, to our own inner children, mm-hmm. right? Because it's our parents' voice or that adult's voice inside us that is kind of, you know, still screaming at us, still shouting mm-hmm. at us when we mess up.
Yeah, that critical or that criticism.
Absolutely, right?
That the parents do, oh, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that.
Exactly. But as I said, mistakes are part of the journey, right? And if we're softer with us, if we become that parent that we didn't have mm. or that authoritative figure, that adult that we didn't have that would have been kinder to us, if we become that as adults, you know, we can just pick ourselves up faster.
Yeah.
We can just love ourselves enough to do better, to become the highest version of ourselves.
So what about, let's say, for example, let's take someone who's had depression or is suffering through depression.
Right.
And you are in that constant mindset of being absolutely helpless or absolutely in a very low state. How do you then change that self-talk? How do you, because let's say you've never been exposed to loving, nurturing parents and you
right.
don't know what that's like, but you are now in this state. How do you then get yourself out? What is the first thing you need to do?
Acceptance. Accept exactly where you are, for who you are, what's going on in your life. Just accept it all. Acceptance. I think that's the key, you know, just to be okay with not being okay, right? Being okay with where your life is. Because when you accept, you know, it's like ice melting,
oof.
Right? It's that powerful. You know, it just kind of melts away the heaviness.
The resistance, walls.
Exactly. And you're able to then break through whatever you're going through, right? You're able to see things more clearly. You just have to accept. Stop fighting it. Just accept it.
I love that phrase you said. Stop fighting it. I think
right.
there's so much power in that one little phrase. Because when you think about it, the one thing that stops you from accepting where you are with all your, let's say, call it disadvantages or things you don't like, is that one little, that surrendering sensation, I would say, or that
right.
feeling of just stop. Fighting it, right?
Now, I want to say something about surrender. You know, people mistake surrender as giving up. So we're not talking about giving up. We're talking about just being okay with where you're at so that you can see the situation more clearly and then do something about it, which is productive, which will help you to get out of where you are, or simply just be there for longer till the situation eases, whatever that may be for you, right? So surrendering is not giving up. Surrendering is just melting into the situation, accepting the situation for what it is, right? And then just being able to see through it more clearly, you know, ferry through it more clearly.
Would you say like one of the biggest reasons to why it's so hard to accept the cold hard truth is because of the resistance we have towards accepting that truth, which could be the belief systems that we have? So can you tell us a little bit about belief systems that have a role when it comes to acceptance?
I think this is a great point because belief systems are so much about conditioning, right? There's so much about what you've been through in your life, you know, what society has told you, what your parents have told you to be right.
Yeah.
What society says is the right thing for you.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you're buried under the belief systems many times.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so how are belief systems formed?
So belief systems are, you know, imprints that you receive from the world around you. And then you form an opinion around those imprints. You form decisions about the situations that you've been through. And that becomes your belief, right? That becomes what you believe to be true. So what you believe to be true is your belief system, right? So understanding that when you change your belief system, when you change what you believe to be true, make it untrue, and then adopt a new belief system that's more conducive to you, that changes your reality, that changes the way you function, that changes the way you see the world around you, and then that changes situations.
So as a therapist, I'm sure you've worked with so many people and helped so many people shift their belief systems and their self-talk. Can you give us an example of a story or a client that you've helped and what that looked like?
So this happens every day. You know, you work with clients and they have belief systems that are not conducive to, you know, their life or the way they want to live their life. And then you work with them and you help them to kind of change those belief systems, and either they change and then the situation doesn't matter, or then the situation changes, right? Because you kind of open doors in your life when you change your belief system as well. It mirrors into your life, right? So an example I can give you would be, well, there are so many. Let me think of something. Well, you know, what I can, at the top of my head, what I can really think about is, you know, I just spoke to a friend recently. There are umpteen examples of clients, but what I just spoke about was with a friend who, you know, had a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy about something. You know, her friend had just gotten into a relationship with a great guy, and she's at an age where she really wants to get married. You know, she just wants to move on with her life and, you know, start a family, etc. And it was really weighing her down, even though she was happy for her friend. But this was really weighing her down because, you know, she wanted to see her friend happy, but she also wanted to be in that position. So she felt really badly about feeling this way about her friend, but she couldn't help the way she was feeling. And she kind of confided in me. And she's like, I'm jealous. I'm feeling envious about this person, right? And what I told her was that, you know, it's natural. So just accept it, right? There's a conditioning here. There's a belief system that you have that when I reach a certain age, I need to get married. I need to start a family. But check with yourself. Is this authentically what you want? Is this something you want for yourself in your life? And, you know, she sat back and she checked with herself and she said, you know, no, I'm really happy with where I'm at right now. Authentically, I really want to work on my career right now. I was in a bad relationship and I'm so grateful that it ended, right? And I am where I want to be. And then gratitude set in. She felt so grateful for where she was and what she had been through, what she had learned through that experience. And she realized that, you know, she only wants to get into a relationship now because she's grown so much through the, you know, relationship she had. She only wants to get into a relationship now that works for her, for who she's become now. This evolved, awakened woman who doesn't want to be in a pressured relationship, who wants to live her life free, wants to work on her career and wants to better herself. She wants that freedom in a relationship, right? She settled into that energy. She realized how she's changed. She changed her belief system in that moment, and I'm sure she's going to manifest someone wonderful and just right for her.
So how, in your opinion, having this, let's say if she didn't have this realization, right?
Right.
And, you know, she continues feeling jealous about people, other people who get married or whatever it is.
Right.
How does having this belief system or a negative self-talk, how does it now start manifesting in different patterns in her life? How does that then affect her life? What ways could it?
Right. I mean, if she wouldn't have realized this, I mean, if we wouldn't have had that talk and she would still be wallowing in that jealousy and that envy, I think she would just attract more of, you know, the troubles or the, you know, the woes that come with it. Because when you are in that heavy energy space, then you kind of cloud yourself to receiving positivity in your life, right? So the negativity starts mirroring in your life as more things that weigh you down, right? Mm. So she wouldn't be appreciative of her job, which is giving her so much right now. She wouldn't be appreciative of the freedom she has as the single woman who's just gotten out of a really toxic relationship, right? She wouldn't be living in the gratitude that she'll now be living in so that more ease and grace can come into her life. The right partner perhaps can come into her life who's right for her. She won't jump into a bad relationship just because, you know, that's the right thing to do or that's what society wants you to do. Mm. Or just because she's of a particular age and, etc., you know, the conditioning.
Yeah, the conditioning of society and
absolutely
other people.
She now knows what's right for her. She now knows that this is exactly where she wants to be in her life, right? So it's helped her to ease into her life and have gratitude for her authentic, you know, role, her authentic journey vis-a-vis somebody else's, you know, because everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
Your journey is different. My journey is different. Everybody's journey is unique and different. And that's the beauty of it, right? But yes, the jealousy did kind of also show her that perhaps she does want someone in her life, right? Mm-hmm. So that negativity that she was feeling was helping her to understand many things. One, right. That she's right where she wants to be. Mm-hmm. Two, that, you know, the relationship she now wants to get into. Yes, she wants to get into a relationship, but a non-toxic, free, evolving, loving relationship.
Yeah.
So it taught her a lot of things once she was willing to look at that for what it is. When she accepted it and she said, okay, what do you have to teach me now, jealousy? Mm-hmm. Tell me, reveal to me, what is it that you're telling me? What is it that you're teaching me?
Yeah. So I want to play the devil's advocate here. And I want to ask you, what about in a situation or in a case where this negative self-talk has given you, or like this negative self-talk contributed to many wins in your life? For example, let's say because of this critical voice in your head, you got great grades, or because of this critical voice in your head, you got a promotion, or it allowed you to finish what you needed to do in a specific amount of time. If this negative self-talk was equivalent to greater things in life or you achieving all your goals, then why would you want to change? And how would it help you to change this negative
self-talk? The problem is that we wallow and we prolong the period of the negative self-talk, right? So if there's anger, for example, I can remember a client who came to me with a lot of anger issues. Mm-hmm. Very passionate person, wants to do a lot with his life, mm-hmm. right? He's currently entered politics, mm-hmm. okay, and doing very well. But a lot of frustration when he came to me, a lot of anger. Anger is simply the energy of passion that needs to be channelized in the right direction. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. We dealt with the anger and he knew exactly what he wanted to do with that energy of passion, which was actually his anger, which was causing his anger, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the problem is that we allow, for example, the anger to sit with us for a very long time without dealing with it. That's when it becomes an issue. That's when it becomes an anger problem, or you become, without, you know, giving it a label, but a jealous person, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you become that, or you kind of start relating to that more than you relate to the other positive aspects of yourself, because you're everything. Mm. So what you choose to be is what you become. But when you deal with the anger, when you deal with the jealousy, when you understand what these heavy, negative, so-called emotions are trying to teach you, when you start channelizing them in a positive way, then you kind of use that energy, you know, that heavy energy, and you change it, you transmute it, you transform it, you alchemize, You become, you make it alchemy, it becomes alchemy for you, and it turns into gold, which you can, you know, use in your life in a positive way.
Absolutely. So what you're trying to say is it's all about awareness of what you're feeling and what the thoughts are, and B, redirecting it in the right way.
Absolutely. Channelizing it, redirecting it. So accepting it, mm-hmm. accepting that, okay, I have this anger in me, or I have this jealousy in me. Second, trying to understand why it exists, mm-hmm. because we're not irrational people. Everything has a purpose. Every emotion that we feel has a purpose behind it. Mm-hmm. So trying to understand the purpose behind what this emotion is trying to convey to me. Mm-hmm. What is this anger trying to say to me? What is this jealousy trying to say to me? Mm-hmm. You know, learning what is behind these heavy emotions, and then channelizing the lesson or what that emotion is trying to tell you in positive ways in your life. You know, moving it into helping you to become a higher, better version of yourself.
So can you now tell us, what are some examples of positive self-talk? Like, If you have an example of a negative self-talk and how to redirect that negative self-talk to a positive self-talk, can you give us a few examples?
Sure. So, you know, let's take the example of this client I just spoke about who came to me with anger issues and being very angry, right? And, you know, the issue was that I'm angry a lot and, you know, this bothers me and, you know, it frustrates me because I can't do anything because of this. It, you know, it clouds my judgment for a lot of things and it makes me so angry that X, Y, Z is happening in my life. And I feel like I'm an angry person. My parents tell me you need to deal with your anger. I don't know what to do with this. Right. And I'm very angry with myself for having this anger as well, because, you know, that's what happens. You don't expect these things from yourself. And then you're angry with yourself as well for having this anger. Right. So just firstly, understanding and accepting that, OK, this anger is here for a reason. It's trying to tell me something. I accept this anger. It's OK for me to be angry. I accept myself exactly where I am and what my situation is. I accept it. So just accepting the anger. Okay, that's the first step. And that's a really, really potent and really important step. We don't even realize how important it is, right? Just accepting. The second thing to do would be to ask the question, why am I angry, right? What makes me angry? What about this makes me angry? Well, in his case, it was things are not the way they're meant to be. Mm-hmm. And that frustrates me because, you know, I'm talking about a guy who moved back home, which is India, from, you know, studying for many years in the US. And it was very frustrating to him that things were the way they were in his work environment, right? And it makes me very angry that things are like that, right? So just understanding that, okay, if this makes you angry, you're just passionate about changing things in your work environment. So use this energy, this potent energy of anger now in the right direction to channelize it, to make a difference, to change the things that are happening in your work environment. What is it that you can do, right? What are the steps that you can take now to start making those changes, right? So this potent energy of anger, which is so powerful actually, needs to be channelized into action steps where you can do something positive to make a difference in your home environment, in your work environment, right? So taking the steps to actually do that, to channelize that anger, that energy of passion into doing something constructive.
Right.
And the minute you kind of do that, you start taking those action steps, you mutate the anger into action, positive action. And things start changing for you and in your environment. And, you know, positive action makes all the difference.
I just had another thought in my mind. Yeah. A common question that we or common clients that we also get here in Dubai is people dealing with separation. So when a relationship ends, so breakups, divorces, separation, and so on. So as someone in a relationship, you can go through rejection, but if you're being dumped, then all that that negative talk that comes in because of that. So let's take an example of being rejected by someone.
Great. Yeah.
So if you're being rejected by someone and you are feeling absolutely horrible about yourself and, you know, with all these belief systems and talks and so on, how would you then recommend that person to change their self-talk, or perhaps what energy would they then have to redirect and to what direction?
So this is universal. I mean, I've had clients in Dubai who've come to me with this very issue. And then in India and all over the world, really, this is something so common, as is everything, right? So I would say congratulations on being rejected. Because the important question is, now, this is really important and listen very carefully. What in me am I rejecting that I feel rejected by another?
Why do you say that?
Because if you didn't feel rejected within yourself, you wouldn't receive that from another. You wouldn't be able to feel that energy from another. It's only what's in you can you feel in your environment. So only what's within you can you actually resonate within your environment or feel in your environment. So the question here is, what within me am I rejecting that I'm feeling rejected by this other? When you accept that, embrace that, it won't matter what the other does. What you'll instead say is, his loss or her loss, you know, because I am amazing in every way. And if this person wasn't able to see that, then good riddance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that would also show you a lot of like all your insecurities that you have already within yourself.
Absolutely.
So let's say if someone dumped you or broke up with you and you feel rejected, it's a sign that A, you don't value or you don't see the value in your own self.
Absolutely.
Or you perhaps gave him or you
the power.
So you probably see him on a higher pedestal.
Absolutely.
Than yourself, right?
Yes, because the very fact that you're feeling rejected by this person means that you're not putting yourself on a high enough pedestal, you know, when pegged with this person, right? So yes, you're right. You're putting them on a higher pedestal to be able to do this to you, right? So there's definitely something about yourself that you're not appreciating, not valuing.
Absolutely.
You know, rejecting. So what is it that I need to accept and not reject within myself, right?
So that's one thing, right?
Value within myself. Absolutely. That's the most important thing.
Right? So just to see how you can then resonate with that same negative thought,
right?
By asking yourself the same question.
Absolutely.
And what are some practices that you would recommend like people can do on a daily basis to perhaps change that self talk or that belief system? What are some simple practices that people can do?
So the first one, as I said, is acceptance of whatever that emotion is. For example, if it's rejection, then accept that I'm feeling rejected right now.
Mm-hmm. And if it's hard for you to accept it, what are some things that you can do, maybe?
So you have to learn to be kind to yourself, right? You have to learn to become your own best friend. To be non-judgmental towards yourself.
Wow, I think that's so powerful.
Right.
I
become that
so
kind
important.
Adult, that inner adult who, you know, that mother or that father, that kind inner adult to yourself who wants to pick you up after you've fallen without shouting at you for what you did wrong, right? So you have to just embrace yourself without judgment, you know. Learn to love yourself through everything that you're going through. Right. And when you learn to do that, then you can, what would you tell your friend when she got rejected in a relationship? Good riddance. That's what you would say to your friend, right?
Right.
You would say that, great girl, or, you know, since we're women here, I'm so happy that happened to you because he didn't see you for who you are. You know,
yeah.
He didn't see how amazing you are. So you've got to learn to do that for
just
yourself.
Just like how you would speak to your best friend.
Exactly.
Same way.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what about certain actions maybe that they can do? What would that be like on a daily, maybe daily practices?
Right. Acts of self-love, right? Acts of self-love. Now, this goes beyond taking care of yourself physically. That's important too. You know,
so
taking
like,
care of your body, you know, exercising, eating right, doing things for yourself that make you feel special, like you would for your partner or your child. Yeah. Right. So doing those things for yourself, putting yourself first. Right. So not being selfish. Yeah. I don't mean being selfish, but yes, acknowledging yourself as much as you acknowledge, you know, the important people in your life. So
gotcha.
You are the important people in your life. So just start acknowledging yourself as such.
So my takeaway from this, it all comes down to A, acceptance, B, understanding, and C, just be kind to yourself.
Absolutely. Correct? Very important. Just be kind to yourself. Acts of kindness for yourself, right? Picking yourself up.
Yeah.
Becoming your own best friend, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, dealing with whatever that negative talk is without labeling it or without judging it.
Right. Yes. That is very important.
Yeah.
Without setting any judgments and conclusions.
Absolutely.
About yourself.
About yourself, right?
Wow. So, Ruchi, is there anything else you would like to add when it comes to negative self-talk before we end this segment?
You know, I want to say this again, that we're everything. Mm-hmm. We're negative, we're positive, we're amazing, and we're also not so amazing sometimes. It's all a part of us, and it's all right. It's all okay.
Yeah.
You know, love yourself through it all.
Yeah.
And understand that we just want to make the most of this life.
Yeah.
We just want to make the most of being here at this time, you know. So just loving yourself through it, being kinder to yourself, picking yourself up, and just not taking the negative self-talk so seriously, accepting it and moving through it the way we talked about, is just going to help you to get to that next phase of who you want to be. The next, you know, evolutionary journey unfolds with, you know, moving through the shadows, moving through the negativity within
yourself. There's no shortcut around it. Like, that is the way you have to go about, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, it's important to, you know, go through those darker sides or the shadow aspects of yourself to come through, you know, to the other side, which is positive and beautiful and fun, glorious, and all of that.
Absolutely. Because now I'm just thinking about people who perhaps move towards drugs or alcohol, yes, or other coping mechanisms. It all comes down to not accepting,
absolutely,
that feeling or whatever they're going through, right?
And absolutely,
just trying to numb it.
It's a coping mechanism, absolutely. Food, alcohol, any kind of addiction is a coping mechanism.
Right. So now, before we end the segment, I want to just bring up something. You mentioned before we started that you just recently started a new business.
I have.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So my new business is a range of supplements which are specifically for mental health wellness.
Wow, wonderful.
It's called Super Me Naturals, and the range, which is six products really, is called Super Calm, because what we're trying to do is just, you know, use adaptogens, use herbs. It's totally natural, plant-based formulas which will help you to kind of feel calmer in your body, feel more focused. You know, we've used vitamin and mineral technology, Ayurveda, Western herbal medicine. We've kind of combined it all to create a range of teas, magnesium creams.
Wow, wonderful.
Topical, you know, magnesium creams that when you apply on your body, you know, magnesium gets absorbed into the bloodstream through the skin by topical application really well. It's about 100% absorption.
Yeah.
So it gets absorbed into your skin. The aroma, natural aromatherapy oils that we've used get absorbed into your skin and help you to feel calmer immediately. Mm. So this is a great remedy for someone who's going through anxiety.
Mm.
And then we have the focus supplements and we have the anxiety relief supplements. Mm. Again, they, you know, you just take them with your breakfast and your dinner, helps you to feel calmer, helps you to sleep better. We're going to have them at Illuminations
very soon.
With the, you know, everyone's been trying them at Illuminations and they love them.
Wonderful. And where else can they find it?
So online. Online is where they can find it. And currently at Illuminations. And then we're selling Pan India on different portals as well.
Wonderful.
And we're starting with the UAE in Dubai, especially through Illuminations and Abu Dhabi as well.
Thank you so much, Ruchi, for being with me here today. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. And
likewise. Enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. And I hope we get to have you on soon for another topic.
Would love that.
So before we end, any last words that you would like to end the session with?
Lots of love. And yes, keep evolving.
Thank you so much to all our viewers for tuning in today, and we hope that you liked this episode as much as we did. So until our next topic and next speaker, I hope you all stay safe, take care, and
thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.